The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Have you all along, wherever you are around the world on this troubled planet of ours. As many of you know, I've been bringing you an occasional mini update on how Jim Mars is doing. Some weeks ago, Jim ran into what we're all going to face sooner or later, can best be described as some unexpected health challenges, very severe health challenges. Jim is not about to go quietly into that good night, as you know, if you know Jim at all, and God only knows how many programs we've done together on this program station, and how much he has brought to all of you around the world in terms of knowledge, insight, truth, reality, and wisdom. Ultimately, it has to end up as being wisdom. And that's what Jim Mars has given us. I often think of Jim as the last journalist, the last real journalist, and I'll stand by that for the rest of my life. He had been doing better, and I was glad to report that to you. There was another issue that popped up a few days ago. We talk often, and it was difficult, and he has somehow managed to surmount that as well. I woke up this morning to a very unpleasant email that Jim Mars had passed away. And it was very difficult. I'm very glad to say that after several hours of dealing with this, I decided, I don't know why, to call his cell phone number again. And I did. And I was almost struck dead when he answered. He was on the way to going to the hospital again, as ornery as ever. He is with us, and we talked, and he doesn't like rumors. He's a journalist. He wants facts. And we decided that if he wanted to, I would bring him on the program before we bring Harry Cooper on tonight and let him tell us what he wants all of you to know about his condition. Jimmy? Welcome.
Now, Jeffy, here we are again.
Yeah.
Same old patter, except in my case, there's a few things missing.
Yeah.
No, I'm not after anybody's sympathy or notoriety or anything. I'm just, I have heard from several people that they've gotten emails or calls and people said, oh, he died. You know, well, I want to tell you, the reports of my death are highly exaggerated, okay? Because I'm still here and I'm still kicking. I have had some problems, and I'll tell you what it was. A few weeks ago, my kidneys failed, and I had to go in the hospital. had to go on dialysis, and that's the bad news, because that usually means a trip to the hospital like three times a week for hours, for 4 or 5 hours at a stretch. But they have got me fixed up with a new machine that allows me to do my dialysis at home. And so I can hook myself up at nighttime, and it operates while I sleep in bed. And I get up the next morning, I unhook, and I go about my day. So I'm still getting used to it, and it's still a huge unsettlement in my life, but things could be worse, right? Well, yes, but then it got worse, because I was sitting at my desk, and I looked up, and all of a sudden, I couldn't see out of my right eye. And I thought, well, you know, something got my eye. I go to the doctor. They'll spray something in it or whatever. But anyway, went to the doctor after a day or so, and he said, nope, your eyeball's gone. And they can't figure out exactly what happened, and that's another reason I haven't said anything to anybody, because we don't know exactly what happened. They think, they're theorizing, they're still doing some tests, so we'll know something a little later. But they think that a piece of plaque broke off, got in my bloodstream, and went through my aorta, but instead of going to my heart or brain, thank goodness, it went to my eyeball, and it cut off circulation to the
optic nerve and all that.
And all, yeah, and everything, it just killed it, you know. There was no substance, so they just killed it, and that's it. It's gone. But, hey, I still got one eye, so now I'm very truly the one-eyed man in the land of the blind.
God, is that funny. When you told me about this eye thing, I want all of you to know, as you know, Jim has a sense of humor that is his. He's utterly unique. He said, first he told me about the eye, and he didn't know what was wrong. And then when he found out, he said, I've lost my right eye. How do you like that? And he just turns it into something of ultimate irony, and it's just you gotta just laugh with him, because it's what happens. We have this body that carries us through life, and no matter how our minds are, the body eventually it gets mileage on it, and whatever the reason.
It's organic material. It's going to collapse and die. Period. You know, no matter what you want or do.
That's exactly right. The bottom line is, I just wanted all of you, and Jim more than I, to know that he is very much here. He hasn't been able to come on the program as scheduled, but he's I know him. He's determined to get back into the groove here, no matter what.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's so much going on. As a journalist, he didn't want to check out. No chance. And he's not going to. So we're just praying that that's the end of it, and you can continue, all of you, to count on this home dialysis thing, which is a major step
miraculous.
Forward. Thank God for this.
It's
astounding.
And meanwhile, everybody keep your eyes and ears open. Think for yourself, and don't check into the death of Seth Rich. Something going on there, and it seems to point to the Clintons. Okay.
What an odd thing to say. Gee. There's an article that Jim sent me, and I put it up at the top of the page. It's up there now, or will be momentarily. It's called America's Lost Generations.
Please, that's really good.
You've got to read it. It's the truth, Jim. He's nailed it.
The one I love today, June 15th, 2017, said a global warming study involving several universities up at Hudson Bay, I believe, has been canceled due to unprecedented ice.
Oh, God.
So
it's that damn global warming again.
Global warming. Now it's climate change. It's getting so hot, we're going to freeze to death.
God, isn't that funny? That awful, horrible Al Gore. What did he say the other day? I forget. Something even more obscene about this. He keeps pushing this crap, and he won't quit. Yeah,
no.
It's the reality.
He's got everything he's got invested in it.
Of course. Moneymaker. All about money. Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter.
And what kills me is that what they're pushing is they want a carbon tax. They want to tax everybody that's breathing, okay? Because when you exhale, you're exhaling CO2.
That's exactly what they want to do. They're already taxing rainwater. There's people in jail right now, as we're speaking to you, who are there because they were collecting rainwater. They've been charged. There's one guy in jail for it. People try and make a little pond for irrigation. They get charged. So the insanity is getting worse. And this article that Jim mentioned that I've got up there is really important. It talks about the lost generations. This guy's got it broken down into decades and what's wrong with these people and how they're now becoming violent. They've stepped across the line. They are not any longer just talk. They're violent. Yep. And that's beyond self-destructive.
Yeah. And the thing is, there's no reasoning with them. They don't understand reason. It just doesn't compute, because when you're insane, you know, there's no reasonable. And that's why people like us, you try to say, well, you know, why do you think this way? Why are you doing this? You know what? What's going on here? You know, and we're trying to make reason out of it, and we can't figure it out because there is no reason to it.
They don't think logically. There's no linear progression in their thought anymore. 1 + 1 does not equal 2 to them. It's 3. And they'll fight and fight to defend that, no matter how crazy it sounds. It doesn't matter. There's no humility. Yuri Bezmenov is a name that you'll see in the article. He was a Russian KGB agent. He's on YouTube. You can see the interview. It must be 25 years old now. He told the whole story. What they're doing, communism, how they're doing it. And he is so right. It's all there. Yuri Bezmenov. And Jim, thank you for that article. I want you to go rest. Go get some rest now. Anything else you want to say?
Yeah, I think that's it. I don't want anybody to think I'm dead, because I got a crick in my neck, and sometimes I feel like it, but not yet.
All right. All right,
okay,
my friend.
Take care.
Thank you. Thanks for being here, Jimmy. You take care. All righty. All right. Standing by in the background is our guest tonight, Admiral Harry Cooper, who is back with us for another. We're going to have some fun here, look at some pictures as we always do. Thank you for that time, Harry.
Oh, my pleasure. And Jim, take care, man. You're a good guy, and we'll keep you in our prayers.
Yeah, that's indeed the truth. Prayers matter. They are energy, and they work. So let's hold thoughts for this man.
Let me add a little, if I can, to something you guys were talking about, the carbon tax. When I first moved to Florida, 20-something years ago, our esteemed governor, I can't remember his name, anyhow, it doesn't matter, he had the bright idea that, let me step back a second. Most of Florida's population, like me, lives outside of big cities, and we have a well and a septic tank. Okay.
Right.
Governor, whatever the hell his name was, he had the bright idea that it was not our water, it was the state's water, even though it was our well, our property. He wanted to put a meter on everybody's well in the state of Florida to charge us a tax for the water we use. And it ain't like, you know, we're taking the water away. We pump it up, wash dishes, flush it down the toilet. It goes right back into the same ground. But this crazy governor wanted to tax everybody's well. That got shot down quickly. They also tried to put through a state income tax, and that got shot down. Mm-hmm. You know, remember what Ronald Reagan said, if it moves, tax it. If it stands still, subsidize it.
Oh, God. I don't know when it's going to stop, Harry. You're right. If it, we are so potentially screwed, and we already are, but anything we do, and now they're talking about literally, this is not a joke. Exhalation of carbon dioxide is now considered to be some kind of at least a misdemeanor, right? You're contributing to the disaster, the death of the planet, and you've got to be taxed. What the hell they expect us to do? I mean, seriously, this is so laughably insane, I can't even react to it.
Well, the most horrible thing on the face of the earth is a white male, and it's usually white liberals who are screaming that we should wipe out the white race. And so why don't they start by shooting themselves if that's their theory? You know, it's just lunacy to exercise more control and get more taxes out of you.
It ain't going to change. It's only going to get worse because the left liberal communist Marxist Bolshevik wing, which is becoming more and more rabid all the time, has now stepped off into the world of violence. The media propagates violence with all of their talk, and the Hollywood icons that so many look up to are advocating violence. And so what are you seeing now? The lunatic fringe is going to begin to implement that violence. You saw it at the baseball shooting. You're going to see more. Yeah. And I don't know what to tell you, except you've got to take care of yourselves. Get your concealed carry permit if you can. If you can just own firearms, take a class. You need, like the sheriff and the sheriff was in Florida, wasn't it? He said, you gotta arm yourself. I think Miami or somewhere. You gotta arm yourself.
I think that was the Pasco County Sheriff, I believe.
Yeah.
Now, most of the sheriffs in Florida have the same opinion. When we first moved down to where we're at in Citrus County, we asked one of the deputies, and he said, if somebody's trying to come into your house, just you have the right to shoot him dead. And when you call 911, tell the dispatcher that the guy is dead, so he don't have to drive so fast. So,
unreal.
And in Florida, you don't need a carry. You don't need a carry concealed permit to carry a pistol in your car, as long as you have to make two distinct movements before you can get it. You can't sit there with the gun in your lap, but if you have it in your glove box or in a holster or something, you have to make two distinct separate moves to get to it, then that's legal. And the nice thing about Florida, if you feel your life is in danger, if you're in your house, if you're in your car, road rage or whatever, if you feel your life's in danger, you have the right to drop the guy dead. I love Florida.
Well, no argument for me. the only thing you can do anymore, seriously, if you're backed into a situation, and we know what the criminal mind will do, kill, rape, mutilate. They don't care. They're psychopaths.
Right.
What's going on in Europe is planned to go on here. You can't dial 911 and expect the police to come in time. They don't have to, by law, respond to 911 calls anyhow. They try, but it isn't going to happen in many cases.
Well,
it's up to you.
You know, the old story, you know, when seconds count, the police are only minutes away. And that's nothing against the cops. They can't be every place. And as you know, we've mentioned before, when I had that burglar try to break into my house when I lived outside of Chicago, from the time he broke in and we called 911 to the time I shot him was 1 minute. And the police showed up after, it was about 5 minutes after the phone call.
Right.
And I could see the police station from my front door. Police are on patrol. They have, you know, you can't have a cop on every corner.
No.
Yeah. And who was it? Somebody famous was asked, why do you carry a gun? And he said, because a cop is too heavy to carry. So, yeah, if you can't protect yourself,
right,
then you're in trouble.
It's not going to change. It's only going to get worse. You have to understand that we are in decline in this country, and it's going to get to the point where we just can't rely on law enforcement to help us. There'll be too many issues. Look what's, please, one rape every 8 seconds in Europe. One rape every 8 seconds. That's what they'd like to see happen here. This is beyond belief.
The punishment over there usually is just a fine. We have friends, you know, we got Shark Hunter members in 77 countries. We have friends in Denmark. And I don't know if it's changed now, but a few years ago, gang rapes were just commonplace, and you couldn't protect the girls because then you're in trouble for beating up on one of the immigrants, undocumented, whatever the heck. And
how about subhuman
fine. So basically, basically what you're doing is paying for prostitution, although the girl is unwilling. So,
I don't think we should use the term immigrant or migrant. These are subhuman life forms. They're being forced into here, into our country, by President Donald Trump, this government, alleged government, under the United Nations Refugee Program. This has nothing to do with a border. This is a United Nations so-called refugee program. Many of the refugees are not refugees at all. They're not Syrian refugees. They're blacks from the Democratic Republic of Congo, picked up right off the street with the clothes on their backs. They're being put on 747 UPS planes in many cases, flown over here in the middle of the night, put on buses and vans and driven around to small and medium towns in this country and sown like little malignant tumors into those towns. People are waking up in the morning and seeing the building across the street crawling with these savages, which is what they are. I'm sorry. That's the truth.
I don't know how we got from Denmark to Trump's USA. That was your footsteps. I'm just following along.
It's a very short step, believe me.
And how much, if UPS is shipping them, how much does it cost to ship a person across the ocean on a UPS jet?
Doesn't matter. We're paying for it.
Rhetorical question.
Who cares? Yeah.
Rhetorical question.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Well, a friend of mine who's now deceased in Germany, they considered him the most radical right-winger. The guy was like a Sunday school teacher, but because he spoke words they didn't like, some of his followers decided to take matters into their own hands. And there was a building in Germany, a hostel, I guess it was, and it was about to be turned over to these people coming in that the folks in the region didn't like. So a couple of his followers set fire to the building and burned it down. Well, they forgot to check if there was anybody in there. There were two illegal immigrants in the building. So he wound up, he drew 12 years in prison because his followers burnt down a building with two illegals in it. So, you know, you know, in so many European countries, Canada too, I believe, I'm not sure, but if you use too much force to defend yourself, your family, then you're the bad guy.
When you have professors, and I don't understand how they get ink so easily in the mainstream media, and that's a rhetorical statement. Of course, I do understand it. You'd think you don't,
sure.
But they have carte blanche to say whatever they want, and it'll be covered. Some have said that milk is a symbol of white racism. White marble for sculpting and artistic purposes is a symbol of white supremacy. These so-called professors are just as insane as some of the scum that's being brought in here. Maybe worse.
Yeah.
Maybe worse. The universities are factories for communism now.
I've often thought, except I just don't have the time, but I thought if I had more time to spare, I'd go back to college just so I could get into a scrap with the professors.
Oh, God.
Because
the students,
they think what the professor is saying must be correct. But if somebody else was in class to challenge the professor.
Yeah. Ain't going to happen. They're afraid. The people who have differences know they'll be thrown out of the university if they challenge a professor, and they will in many cases. I've seen that. They're dismissed. They get them out of there.
Well, then you need to go up, knock the crap out of the professor.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
I suppose that's probably illegal too, but.
Well, there are a lot of illegal things that are being done in the halls of Congress every day. So I don't know where you draw the line anymore, Harry. Here's just a little excerpt from this article that is up at the top of headlines. According to Yuri Bezmenov, the four steps to winning the hearts and minds of an entire country are as follows. 1. Destroy moral foundations. Let's consider that done. 2. Reeducate the young mush minds, which is about a 20-year process. Consider that done. teach the young to yearn for Marxism under an acceptable terminology, now called progressives. Done. Number four, move the conditioned into political and economic power. Done.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Hold on, and we'll be right back in just a couple minutes. Okay, and welcome back. Harry Cooper, and yours truly, and all of you folks, wherever you are, we're going to go on one of our visits, our trips tonight, and we've got a whole lot of pictures there. I hope you're able to load them and take a look-see along with us as we walk through history. In fact, Harry, what's the latest on your next tour? How much available space?
Our next tour is, we still got a couple spots available.
Oh,
and,
good.
It's our Southern Patrol, the last week in September, the first week in October, and what the photos we'll be seeing in the next minute or two are basically what we'll be doing down there, because these were taken last year on our Southern Patrol. Of course, there's a ton more photos, but they're all on the website.
Yeah, if you go to sharkhunters.com and just look up...
previous tours.
It's all previous tours. I keep thinking tours. Previous tours. You can go anytime and go on these trips vicariously with Harry. They're just absolutely fantastic. You will not be, I was just going to say that. You will not be able to experience real history any more vividly or poignantly in some cases than you will with Harry. So if you've got the time and if you've got the money, for God's sakes, to take this opportunity. Don't say, well, maybe I'll go next time. Do it. Go. It'll be safe. Harry knows where to go. There are many, many places that are, believe me, completely removed from the noise and the ugliness you hear there all the time.
Yeah. We've never had, knock on wood, thank God, we've never had any problems at all in Germany. Austria, the only one tour ever, and that was when we were in St. Petersburg, Russia, 1995. We told everybody, don't carry your purse, lock them in the safe. And this one lady was carrying her purse, and her husband was on one side, and her husband's brother was on the other side. The husband was a tough submarine sailor, and the brother-in-law was a tough destroyer sailor.
Mm-hmm.
But that was 50 years before. Now there were a bunch of old men. Some guy just came running up behind him, grabbed the lady's purse, never missed a stride. But that was 1995 in Russia.
Wow.
Germany, Austria, we've never had any crime problems whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
The people are just warm, friendly, nice people. You can't get a bad meal there. You can't get a bad beer. You can't take a bad photo. Beautiful over there, the euro is down in value, so your Yankee dollar is halfway passable over there.
Well, all good news. Okay, so give us the dates for the next tour, so people. Now, I know a lot of you out there actually do have the time, and you can go on these tours. So take this opportunity. Don't let it go by. There are a couple of spots still open. You will never forget it. Your life will be better. You'll understand the world much more clearly than you ever could without this experience. So what are the dates again, Harry? What's the cutoff time to get on? And you got a few spots left.
We got a few spots left. The cutoff time is when those last couple spots are filled.
Okay.
But probably by the end of June, that'll be the end of the ball game. Because we got to send the money ahead, and
we can't very
well be scrambling to catch up. So it's the last week in September, the first week in October that we're there. And, we start out in Munich, and that's the first batch of pictures. So
let me say one other thing, one more thing.
Please do.
For all of you ladies out there, Many of you are single, maybe some widowed. It doesn't matter. If you have the time and you have your own life in your hands, and you'd say, geez, I'd like to do that, do it. There were two gals on this trip that we're going to look at some pictures of who went, I guess, on their own. Tell me more about that. So right, I remember. Yeah.
That was last year. There were two of them. One was Jeannie and the other is Christy. Jeannie came from Florida. Christy came from, your state. She lives about 45 miles from you. And neither knew each other. They both just decided to go on the tour. They both had an incredible time. And Jeannie works at Disney World, which is only about an hour and a half away from us. And we went there, and we just asked where she worked so we could stop in and see her. She was such a sweetheart. She met us outside the gate and escorted us in and kept waving her pass. We didn't have to pay for parking. We didn't have to pay for entry into the park. Just that's the kind of people we have at Shark Hunters. It's a family. It's a family. And Jeannie stayed in Germany, I think a week after our tour broke up. She just traveled by herself. Christy, she's very strong in the Republican Party. She's part of her Republican Executive Committee out there in your area, as I am in my area. And they just had a wonderful time. They got along great. And of course, single women. They had a lot in common. And it just everybody got along great. And one of the guys with us, Bill Napier, it was the sixth tour he's been on with us.
You go. That's the ultimate testimonial right there. So, ladies, you'll be taken care of. You'll have the time of your lives. I guarantee it. I hope some of you listening will contact Harry. At least talk to him about it. Yeah. Get a feeling.
Yeah, we got two single ladies already signed on for this tour.
Oh, great. All right. Well, see, there you go. If any of you are listening, you won't be alone. You'll have more single gals to hang around with if you want to. Just a great group
One's
of people.
From Canada.
All right. Good.
Yeah.
That's great. Okay. All right. Let's look at our pictures.
Okay.
Click on photos, load them up, and Maestro, with the baton, we are ready to go.
Okay, I'm going to go through them in a series kind of rapidly and then stop and talk about it. So the first place we visit when we're in Germany is Munich. It's a really beautiful, beautiful city, ancient city. Munich in German is pronounced München, and it means the place of the monks because it was a big religious center. So let's just zip through the photos, and then we'll talk more about Munich.
Okay.
The first one is Feldherrenhalle, which is a very famous structure for old generals and field marshals.
Two lions out in front of that.
The lions, that's right. Somehow lions always wind up in the front of important places.
Yeah.
Next is one of the buildings built during the Third Reich.
The beautiful building.
Looks architecture.
Oh, my God. Well, now, I don't mean to bust up your train of thought here, but you have seen, and some of you listening have seen, the drawings that Albert Speer had envisioned turning Berlin into. And isn't that on a tour of some kind in Germany? Didn't they resurrect those buildings and recreate them or something? Oh.
Some of the buildings are still there in Berlin, Munich. Well, Berlin was supposed to, I've seen pictures of what it was going to be, and it was going to be one of the most incredible art-based cities in the world, but that just didn't happen. So anyhow, after that building, with the people walking on the sidewalk, then you have the pillars and the gateway. Flip to the next one. It's an old building, older. It was built in the 30s. It was the government ministry building, and which I think was Hitler's headquarters when he was just in Bavarian politics. And myself and one of the other guys on the tour were standing there taking photos, this photo, and an old German man walked up and he looked at us and he smiled. He says, "Das war Hitlergebäude." That was Hitler's building. So they still remember him over there.
Wow. Interesting.
The next one, that magnificent building, we always get a joke out of this. It's called the Rat House. And Rathaus means city hall.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people don't have high opinions of governments anywhere.
No.
So Rat House kind of fits.
That's but not a church steeple?
No, that's city hall.
Hey.
The biggest steeple, way down, about halfway down, that's where they have that famous Glockenspiel. It's a clock that at 11 o'clock and at noon, it goes off and all sorts of figures dance and twirl and do all sorts of stuff. And it ends when the evil knight in red comes out of one window, full size, on a horse, you know, a wooden horse. And the Bavarian knight comes out in his white and blue. It's not blue and white. It's white and blue, Weiß und Blau. And the Bavarian knight always knocks the evil knight off his horse. Two times a day for the last century or two, the evil knight never wins. And so in the square in front, you know, where I'm standing taking this picture, just before 11 a.m. and just before 12 noon, fills with people. There's zillions of people in there, and everybody's taking pictures because this is one of the high points in Munich. It's a magnificent place. This building is hundreds of years old. And the next one is a front view of the Feldherrenhalle with the lion. That's beautiful architecture. Then there's Genie. I talked about Genie. See, Genie's made a friend. That's the guy that drives one of the beer wagons for Oktoberfest.
See, I can see her working at Disneyland, Harry. She's got that Walt Disney smile. Yeah.
She's such a sweetheart. And we went back again to visit at the place she worked, and she was so surprised to see us. And, "Oh, why? Why didn't you tell us we were coming? We could help you." "No, no, no. That's fine. She's just a nice person."
Yeah.
And we roll down, and the three guys sitting there, Victor on the left. This is the third time Victor's been with us. And Bill, the guy in the middle, he's a combat Marine veteran from Nam, 250 sorties into the bush.
Wow.
Firefights. Tough guy. This was his sixth time with us. Carl, the guy on the right, former Air Force. It was his first time, but he says it ain't going to be the last. And we click down one more. You know what that is. We always show pictures of the food.
You do. And you know, that's half the fun of these tours, seeing the food, seriously. Even though I have to admit, I'm a vegan. But that is, I have an eye for the aesthetics of fine food. I get it.
Yeah, this is Schweinebraten, which is pork. Baste it or saute it or whatever you call it in some kind of a sauce and then broiled, baked, or however they cook it. And that white thing there, it's a potato dumpling. And it's just so doggone good.
And
I come home from Europe, I eat like there's no tomorrow, and I lose weight. They don't use the artificial growth hormones in their food over there, and just tastes good and it's wholesome. And man,
you really did. That's the truth, huh? You actually can. You eat and eat, and I know you well enough to know you do partake, and yet you don't come back overweight.
No. I'm heavier than I want to be. I'm about 188 pounds at 5'10", but I come back 3 or 4 pounds lighter.
Oh, interesting.
But when I get back home, of course, then we have all the processed food, the cupcakes, the ho-hos, the ding-dongs. And I put the weight back on again. Now, there's something very special about this next photo, besides Jeannie, of course. And Christy, I'm sorry, I just didn't get any of your picks up here. I'm sorry. But we're in a very special room. We always have lunch when we're in Munich. We have lunch at the Hofbrauhaus, and we eat on the second floor, but this is on the third floor, which seats, without the tables and stuff, it seats 800 people.
Oh, that's this a huge room. Look at that.
Yeah. Right. It's a
There's
huge
a stage
room.
Up this in the front. I see a stage back there.
You betcha. And you know who was on that stage
mm-hmm.
80 or 90 years ago. And this is where Hitler made his speeches to a packed house of about 800 people from that stage. And it's still open. There was a birthday party going on up there when we were there.
Mm-hmm.
And you're walking in the footsteps of history. And you can tell Jeannie's happy there. So we just finished lunch, so Jeannie's uh-huh. tummy was happy.
Can you imagine what it must have been like?
Yeah.
You've been in that room many times. Just chairs and the anticipation of hearing the message from the man who saved Germany. Saved Germany. Germany was finished and brought it all the way back. Unfortunately, things didn't go the way. Try to imagine
this all in black and white with heavy cigarette smoke in the air and beer steins all over the place.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It brings you back into history.
Yeah.
So, Jeannie was loving it. Okay, let's. Now we start in the next part. I guess I'm a little out of order, but that's okay. This round turret.
Yeah, there's a round concrete kind of a pillar there.
Right, old stone, and then there's a closer-up picture of it. And then there's a picture looking down into the valley, and then there's a picture of the knight that says Ritterfest Hausberg Weichenfeld. Ritterfest is the knight's festival from the castle Weichenfeld. They have outdoor medieval type festivals here, and we visit this castle, and we seem to be missing another. Is there more pages to this?
Yeah, there's a should be a bunch more.
Okay, I've lost them, but then again, I'm computer stupid. How do I get on to the next page here, Jeff?
I don't know. Let me see. Hold on. I'm gonna have to back up and take a look. Let me do this during the break. We got a break coming up in a couple minutes. Go back to this picture of the round pillar. That is part of the top of the castle. Is that a lookout? What is that?
That's the entry gate. That round.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, and off behind that, you can't see real well, but there's walls. The castle walls go out back there, and if you go in that little driveway to the right, the road kind of forks there. The right fork brings you in the front gate of the castle grounds. The left fork takes you along the revetment, the walls there. And this is high on the hill over whatever that little town is down below, and you can see that photo. We shot that photo from up on the castle, and you look. Castles, for some reason, the castles are always on the hill because it makes them harder to assault.
That's what they say. So these buildings we're looking at down there, how old are some of them?
Oh man, these things are 500, 600, 700 years old. You know, these small villages never got bombed out during the war, so whatever was built there is still standing.
It must be fascinating to walk down through those streets and look at the streets had to be small. I'm trying to get a sense of the feel of it all. The buildings.
Right. The streets were narrow.
Yeah.
And cobblestone. And like one of our guys, you know, when somebody said, geez, why did they make them out of cobblestones? One of our guys says, nothing lasts longer than a brick.
Well, he's smart.
I guess he's got a point there.
Yeah. And that's where the expression bricks for brains came from, right?
Uh-huh. Is that? I don't know. You know more about that than I do, I guess. Bricks for brains. I had never even heard that before.
Well,
but this castle, if we can find the other photos, I'll link them in. But On the grounds, I didn't put the pictures up here of what was on the grounds there, but your listeners can go to this website, sharkhunters.com, and click on previous tours. They had the big target for the axe throwing, and they had the other targets for the archery. So they would have contests here now in these days, just like they did in the old days, to see what knights, you know, were better at different feats of arms. And we, you know, I don't know about the other folks on your show, but I know when I was a kid growing up and mm-hmm. we were learning all about the Crusades and the knights and everything, it was always British, always British.
Always
we
British.
Didn't even know the
German, yeah, I the never Germans heard a word about the Germans or the French or any of them.
The French, the Austrians, the Austro-Hungarians, we never heard about their knights, but mm-hmm. They all had their knights. And so they have these knights games, Ritterfest. That's Ritterfest Aufburg Weichenfeld, the knights festival from Castle uh-huh. Weichenfeld.
How do you travel around on the tours, Harry?
Well, if we have...
Depends on the size of the group, people. I guess, yeah.
Right. If we have a large number of people, we have a big deluxe bus. If we have a smaller group, we have a small van. No, sorry, we have a large van, I'm sorry. And last year, I took a turn a little too sharp when I was parking it. I didn't have the group with me, and there was a kind of a tree stump. I rearranged the door.
Uh-huh.
Cost me $1,000 out of my pocket.
Well, they make you pay for it right then? You don't have insurance?
Damn right. The insurance covers everything after the first $1,000.
Oh, it's a deductible. Right. Okay.
Yeah, it's a deductible.
How do you say deductible in German?
I'm just kidding.
I'm just joking.
Fortunately, those people all speak real good English there at the counters.
I bet they do.
Most of the people on the tours, yeah, they speak excellent English over there. My German is halfway passable to get directions, order food, etc. But
you just pound on the table, isn't that it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, if you're in Russia, you beat your shoe on the table.
Oh God! No, that was Khrushchev.
Right.
All right,
but
hold on a second.
For that, in Russia, a shoe on the table means you're the boss.
Oh, so there was some meaning to that gesture. I am the boss.
Exactly.
Oh, I didn't know that. All right, very good. All right, hold on. We'll take a break. Come right back.